and welcome to this edition of Centenary Management Radio. I'm Barbara Luthwaite, along with my co-host, WNTI Director John Delray. For the next 10 or 15 minutes, join us as we discuss different principles of management hot topics with members of the Centenary Management class. We are joining you today via remote learning for this episode.
Joining us on this episode is Team 1, consisting of Ronan, Christian, Scott, Matthew, and Hannah. Their subject today will be jobs in the nonprofit sector.
Okay, so let's begin our discussion. So, Scott, I'm wondering, what do you think the pros and cons are of working in the nonprofit sector?
Well, first off, there's many advantages. First one being the tax exemption. So all public charities get no corporate income tax. Another advantage would be eligibility for public and private grants. And a third one would be limited liability, since the founders and employees aren't liable for the nonprofit's debts. As for cons, the cost of setting up nonprofits are a lot. There are many fees for applying for incorporation and tax exemption status. Often nonprofits need to hire an attorney for a lot of paperwork reasons. That leads to another con is lots of paperwork for the IRS. Since being a nonprofit, you have to keep lots of different records on your financials, a lot more different compared to regular for-profit corporations. Another con would be scrutiny by the public. The finances are available for the public, which leads to scrutiny if the company is doing bad. And yeah, that's most of the cons for the most part.
Okay, well, it sounds like you've done quite a bit of good research, Scott.
Thank you.
So, Matt, how do you think that COVID has affected the nonprofit sector?
Well, when COVID first started, it had much more of an impact. Now we've kind of figured our way around it. But at least in the beginning, a lot of organizations that were nonprofit or organizations that had a nonprofit sector were pushed to online. And it made it difficult in the beginning, mainly because you're now having to get used to new technology that you may have not used, such as Zoom or Teams, so that you can have business meetings and talk to other branches. You're also having to upload documentation that was physical, and now you might not have it all online, which makes it more difficult to keep track of everything. But as we've grown out of COVID and like learned from it, we have done a lot more to make it a better place online, as now companies have more room for hiring than they did before, because you have set spaces and limitations when you're in a physical building. However, when you're online, there's more options and you have a vast amount of people from all over the globe that you can hire instead of just from one state. So in the beginning, it was definitely more of a harder impact. But now as we've grown out of COVID, I definitely think it's beneficial. However, I think I can agree with others when I say I would rather be in person, because being online, just in general, there's a lot more issues such as connectivity and being able to actually go to work.
Yes, we're all craving that actual being together, right? As opposed to on Zoom, we've all become experts now with Zoom and Teams and that kind of thing. So thank you for that insight, Matt. So Christian, what do you think about nonprofit jobs in general in an organization?
So they allow, so the organizations, they allow to fill specific jobs for free while giving them training for free, training as in people working for the company. And that can help the company as a result, because then they can hire a person full time and they won't have to pay for training, since it's like community service almost. And also I was the, like, while you're working there, also I was training on there, because like you're actually participating in the job and you're learning what to do. So, and it also allows the boss to reallocate specific jobs into one person, allowing companies to minimize hiring more staff. And this also minimizes training costs of staff, all while earning free labor out of it.
Yeah. So I think you're talking a little bit about volunteers here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. The nonprofit sector is very dependent on volunteers, but you make a very good point. In organizations like Habitat for Humanity, people who volunteer also learn important skills.
I feel like a lot of other people are swayed away from working for nonprofits since they see they don't get paid for it, but it's just, most of the time it's for the greater good and it looks good on your resume.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So Hannah, what role do you think that nonprofits want to fill when they're hiring people? This is kind of like piggybacking on what Christian had to say.
Yeah, so they definitely hire mostly volunteers. So in one of the articles I read called Managing Public Relations in Nonprofit Organizations, the authors suggest that nonprofits hire people who can, quote, wear many hats because they have different skills to fill many positions. So any volunteers or other employees they hire, they should hire people that have the skills to focus on fundraising, which is the key to survival when having a small budget and limited resources. They should have volunteers fill essential roles to complete work, and that helps the local community and avoids more salaried employees.
Okay, some good insight there. So Ronan, what percentage of the workforce works for nonprofits? Do you know?
I do actually know. So according to a 2019 report by the Center for Civil Society Studies at Johns Hopkins University, nonprofits account for roughly 1 in 10 jobs in the U.S. private workforce, with a total employees numbering 12.3 million in 2016. Over the decade since 2007, nonprofit jobs grew almost four times faster than the for-profit ones. For the first time, nonprofit employees now equals manufacturing, retail, trade, and accommodation and food services are the only U.S. industries that employ more people than nonprofits. Health, education, and social assistance account for 81% of nonprofit jobs. Nonprofit employees by sector is about 55% for health services, 16% for education, 12% for social assistance, 7% for grant makers, 3% for arts and recreation, and 4% for other services.
Wow, it sounds like you've done some good research there, and like jobs in the sector are sort of exploding. So I think that any student studying business really needs to take a good look at that sector and consider it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so back to Scott. Over the years, how much do you think that the nonprofit sector has changed?
The nonprofit sector has had a slight increase over the years. From 2006 to 2016, the number of nonprofits increased by about 4.5%. It went from, I don't have the job number actually right here. The sector has been growing gradually over the years. There's been continuous financial growth. For example, in 2018, the revenues grew by about 1.8%, while assets increased by around 2.3%, while expenses grew by 3.6%. Also, their charitable donations has gone up by 0.7%. So overall, the nonprofit sector has been growing, but it's not a booming industry. It's just gradual growth.
Okay. Gradual, but steady, right?
Yes.
So good. Okay. So Matt, are there specifications or special training required or involved when it comes to nonprofit jobs?
So I'm about to contradict myself. There's not necessarily any specifications, but when people such as myself as a college student want to apply to a nonprofit job, whether it's for volunteer or for a organization to get intern training, these bosses that hire you expect something in return because you're getting intern hours and they're expecting back that, as Hannah said before, you're able to do many different kinds of jobs throughout the one position. They want to be able to give you the training that's required of most companies if they were willing to hire you. So when you're coming in for that nonprofit job, there's not necessarily any specifications that they like, but there are definitely some that they're going to require from you. Like they'll want you to be able to work with Microsoft Word and Excel and all the other following apps. They're also going to be relying on you to do a lot of like, get me this, get me that kind of work. So not necessarily any specific kind of training, but they're going to expect you to be able to learn as you're going throughout the job, or at least have some prior knowledge of being able to create spreadsheets using specific kind of apps and providing detailed reports or anything that they're expecting of you in that position.
So it's sounding a little bit like the skills that are required are very similar to those required in the for-profit world.
Yes, because they ask of you for that because they, like I said, I'm a college student, and if I'm going to intern, it would most likely be for something that I can put on my resume so that I can go work for another company for a profit job. And what these nonprofit jobs are helping you do from your boss is they're applying all kinds of training that they can put on your resume, and which might be horrible in the moment because you're doing a lot for hours of work, but in the end, you're getting tons of experience and training specifications for other jobs that you might want to apply to.
Okay, sounds good. So Christian, do you have any feel for what area or what state has had the most increase in employment in the nonprofit sector?
Of course I do. So there are a couple that had huge increases throughout 2016 to 2020. So the first state's Pennsylvania, and that increased by 63.1%. Then we have New York, which increased by 47.1%. Then New Hampshire, which increased by 35.9%. And lastly, we have Maryland that also increased by 31.4%. But I'd also like to add that there were some states that had a decline in nonprofit jobs. So there's jobs such as our states such as Vermont, Maine, Texas, Alabama, South Carolina, and also Nevada. And they had less than 6% of the employment from 2016 to 2020. So I thought that was pretty low of a number.
Hmm. Do you have any feel for why states had increases or decreases?
In my opinion, I honestly don't know, but I'm thinking like more like up towards north, there's more nonprofit jobs than there are down in the south.
That's an interesting switch.
That's what it looks like when I'm looking at the data. Mostly in the north part of the country, there's all higher percentages of nonprofit jobs, while in the south, they declined.
Okay. So, Hannah, how do the nonprofits typically have to register under the IRS?
Yeah, so under the IRS, there's different 501 organizations. So there's a really broad range of numbers. What I found is that most of them pretty much mean the same thing. The only exception is that some of them have, so for example, there's one 501 organization that specifies certain qualifications for churches, but a majority of nonprofit organizations are registered just as 501c3 organizations because 501 corporations are not taxed by the government based off of their contributions.
Okay. And that's an issue these days. So thanks for shedding light on that. And as we come close to the end of our program, I just need to ask Ronan, what do you think is a reason why a college graduate would want to work in the nonprofit sector?
So I got two reasons to throw out right here. So my first one is that your degree is actually transferable to the nonprofit sector. So no matter what the financial outlook may be, great nonprofits still need great people with education, talent, and passion. BridgeSpan survey respondents reported that 50 to 75% of the roles they will need to fill in the near future look to require traditional business skills like finance, general management, marketing, communications, planning, evaluations, operations, technology, and human resources. So whatever field a graduate may have earned their degree in, a nonprofit organization can probably use your knowledge and skills. My second reason is also you gain experience outside of your job description. So most nonprofits require all employees to work outside of their job descriptions. Office managers may get opportunities to write grant proposals and learn all about fundraising. Receptionists could be called upon to organize a group of volunteers for a rally on Capitol Hill. Joining the staff of a nonprofit organization can be hard work, doing several jobs in addition to the one you were hired for, but you quickly become a generalist in many different areas of skills and knowledge. So in the long run, this will help you become a well-rounded professional who can add value to any type of organization.
Okay, that's great. I'd really like to thank my very knowledgeable panel for the research that they did on this subject and that they've shared with the university community. So it looks like we're out of time for this episode. And tune in next time for another exciting episode of Centenary Management Radio. This has been a production of WNTI, the sound of Centenary. Have a great day, everyone.